Good evening, everyone. This is Joan.
And this is John. Welcome all. We're certainly pleased that you've joined us this evening. And, of course, this is Seating of the Divine, Level 4, Session 8, July 23rd, 2019. Now, tonight, we will have a community call, basically, and we, will, of course, will start the whole session with a meditation from Archangel Gabriel. Now, of course, the other part of the agenda has had to be changed because of a special event that took place that involved us all, which we didn't know, at the time in Hawaii last week. Malena will give us the details as to how we were all included and affected by this significant event. Now, it has many layers, so that's what we will know and find out over the next few years. This whole thing will unfold. Again, it is important for us to realize that the energetics that were set in motion affect our group and our conference. Now, these energetics provide another opening of an aspect of the seventh dimensional time locks. So that's obviously extremely significant. Now, also as a reminder, our next gathering will be, mark this down, August the 9th. So, let's get rolling, and if we would all take a deep breath, please, and help and assist Joan in bringing forth our dear friend, Archangel Gabriel.
Greetings. It is I, Gabriel. I am delighted to be here with you this evening. And I am also honored to bring us all together in our beautiful crucible of light with all members of our crucible. So if you would take a deep breath, become very centered in the moment, breathing in love, exhaling light, very present in your sacred heart center. Now, since this evening has some very important and significant information that will be given to you this evening, it is appropriate that we, you as the human counterpart of this collective group, to send a grounding cord into your Earth Star. Feel that connection with Mother Earth and the elementals. Now take a deep breath. And as you enter through your Earth Star, begin to recognize your descent into the center of the Earth. The Telosians are present and greet you as you enter this first level of the Inner Earth Community. Next, we see the arrival of the Andarans, the Andaran collective. And the Lemurians are here in mass. Next, the Ancient of Ancients. And close to the center, surrounding that Christed matrix, are the luminaries. Luminous beings of light. Feel that connection. For that matrix is also within you, within your sacred heart. See the changes that have occurred within that Christed matrix in this last year. And how luminous it glows as it mimics the luminaries, the luminous light. And Mother Earth herself has been elevated and altered. And now, you contribute your Christed energy. Very anchored. Within the earth and within these vast communities. Also recognize the unity of our crucible and the many star beings who are with us, gathered, observing, participating, adding their light and their wisdom. It is only fitting that we include all parts of the communities that are present and gathered in this very moment. Can you feel the energetic explosion that is taking place within the center of Mother Earth? And the light that continues to grow and expand. All of the elementals are present and resonating with this great light that has been created. Next, we observe the dragon realm, the fire dragons, who hold such a significant part within the earth dynamics and with the resurrection of a Christed planet. the earth goddesses are also present. Another deep breath. Remain in this state of being, state of consciousness, and let us begin tonight's session.
Thank you, Gabriel, for that wonderful opening meditation and the putting us all together in our wonderful crucible. We thank you very, very much for that. Now, next, Melania is going to explain to us what this significant event that has happened, and then when she's done, we will open the session up to comments from the group. So, as our old friend used to say, here's Melania. Star 6, girl.
Okay. I think I'm on. You have me, John?
You're on. Thank you.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, John.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, welcome. And thank you, Gabriel, for that beautiful opening. So aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
Everyone, it's great today. It's another beautiful day here in paradise. So I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about our Onchi crystals. You know, at last year's conference, Kathleen Gary, she introduced those to us. And for many of us, we had a very strong resonance to those Onchi stones. And when Kathleen first handed one to me, the first thing they said were that we are the ancient of ancients. We existed before time was time. We came to learn that the Onchis are comprised of some of the oldest matter ever found on the earth. And like many of you, I wish to have my own Onchi. And over the course of communicating about my personal Onchi with Glenda Yoder, who is one of the keepers of the Onchi mine, she was told by the Onchi consciousness to send 5 Onchi stones to me to be placed in the ocean with the dolphins and the whales. Of course, I knew immediately they were to be taken to the portal of no time, space, or dimensions. So I received the Onchis almost a year ago, and I have attempted several times, numerous times actually, to go and place them in the vortex. And every time something would happen to prevent that. Either the ocean conditions were such that we could not make it to where the vortex is, or about 3 or 4 mornings, I woke up when I had planned to go and was running an unexplained fever and then could not go on the boat. But however, I trusted that when the timing was right, it would happen. So throughout this past year, some of you in our community have visited with me in Hawaii and have had the opportunity to sit with these stones. I know Katie certainly has, Diana, Lindley, Cliff, Kazuko, I think that's everyone. So they had been infused with our group's energetics through each of them. They've also been sitting with the stones that we've had that I have with me that were at the conferences the last couple of years as well. So last Monday, July 15th, I was going on the boat. And for those of you who know them, Raphael and Michael Tamira and their group were here for their yearly visit and had chartered the boat. The Onchis told me very clearly that they had to be placed before this year's conference, which means they had to be placed before I left the island, which is tomorrow morning. So I spoke with both Michael and Raphael before departure, and I asked them if it was okay with them if I invited their group to participate in my completing an assignment that I had been given. And they both said absolutely. They had a large group this year, so we had a small second boat going out. So Raphael was going to go on the second boat with that part of the group. So I gave one of the aunties to her for her boat. And I spoke with the other ladies on her boat about what we would be doing and asked if they would each hold a stone and infuse it with whatever blessing they wish for the planet. Then once underway, I shared the same thing with the group on my boat. The four remaining aunties were passed to each person on the boat. Now this was a very high frequency group, and the aunties were very happy to receive their blessings. An hour or so ago, I posted a photo on the Seeding of the Divine Facebook page of the five aunties. As you can see, they are with my white dragon and goddess figurine. In the photo, in the back is, of course, the Hathor. So the dragons, as you know, have been a huge part of the last couple of calls. And Joan and I have both been amazed at how all of these various pieces are now coming together. So when I tell you this next part, it should come as no surprise to you. But these five aunties are called dragon stones. So it was one of those perfect Kona mornings on the ocean, sun-filled blue skies, calm water, no wind. In the days prior to the trip, I had set my intention that we would make it to the portal and that we would have lots of dolphins. So we headed up the coastline, and as we headed north and were passing by the bay, by the airport, we saw dolphins in there. Now this is a bay that the dolphins used to frequent almost every day, but according to my crew, they had not swam with them there but on rare occasion in the past 2 years. And as it turned out, we had a two-hour swim there in that bay. So I mentioned to Captain Michael to allow us enough time for us to go up to the portal to place the stones before we had to head in. So within a 15 minutes of my mentioning that to him, the dolphins disappeared. So we gathered everyone and headed up the coast. And we weren't quite sure where the dolphins had gone at that point because they just, as they do, they just disappeared, even though there had been several hundred dolphins in the bay that morning. So we gathered everyone and headed up the coast. And at some point, the dolphins surfaced next to us and then dropped behind our boat. And they were spread out widely on both sides all the way out. And the second boat flanked them. So I want you to envision this, our boat's in the lead, these 200 dolphins behind our boat going out 30, 40, 50 yards on each side, second boat next to them, and all the other boats following. Some of the other boats tried to catch up because these dolphins were jumping and leaping and riding the bow wake and, you know, surfing those waves. They were trying to catch up, but somehow it was like they would hit some kind of invisible barrier. And every one of them backed off and fell way back. It was very obvious that something special was going on, and some of the people on my boat even commented on it. So this escort lasted probably easily 20 minutes, if not longer. So as we passed the bay that is before the vortex, the dolphins slowed down and gently turned in the shore. And all the other boats followed them and stopped there. So our two boats continued on to the portal. Once we were in place, I shared with the group that this was a very special place that we called the cathedral, that it was for me the place where the veils were the thinnest to the Ancient Ones and to Lemuria. I did not tell them our significance of that spot. And then I shared a little bit about the aunties with them. So I asked Raphael, who was on the other boat, to drop the first auntie into the ocean. I then asked Michael Tamira to drop the second one. We had a few children on board, and there was one little girl who was 11 years old. Her name is Galadriel, and she is this bright little light beam. So I asked her if she would drop the next one for all generations, past, present, and future. All of you, would have been so moved by the reverence with which she accepted and held the stone before she dropped it. The fourth Aji was dropped by a lady named Amy, who is part Hawaiian and who grew up here. As Michael Tamura was on the front of the boat holding the Aji before he dropped it, we noted that a small pod of dolphins had broken away from the bigger group and had very quietly come in to surround the boat to witness the ceremony. Now, while I did not realize it at the time, I later felt that those who were asked to drop the crystals was not a random selection. I really had no plan in place other than asking Raphael to drop the first one. So first, there's Raphael and Michael. To begin with, their names could not have been more perfect, since the archangels by that name are very much a part of everything that we do. And also, their union is one of sacred harmony, with a beautiful blend holding the balance masculine and feminine. The 11-year-old Galadriel represented the innocence and the hope for all beings in our earth. Amy represented the Hawaiian people, their history, and its culture, as the Kiahi, which means guardians, protectors of the sacred place known as Hawaii. So that's four of our stones. And so now for the fifth stone. Earlier in the morning, when we were with that huge pod of dolphins, I was told that only four of the Ankis were to be left in the ocean that day, that the fifth one was to go to our conference in September. I was to ask those of you who have Aji to bring one to the conference to connect with this one. The one I chose to come to the conference was held by me in the water with the dolphins for about 15 minutes. This fifth Aji is shaped very much like this island, the island of Hawaii. The group were all in gratitude and very moved to have the opportunity to participate in the ceremony, and every person was impacted by it. And I'm sure you will find this as amusing as I did. Part of the theme for Michael and Raphael's seminar was called Lemuria Rising. Divine perfection was at play in every aspect of the day. It was a wild day for sure. When we returned to shore, I went to thank Raphael. She then told me she had had an amazing experience on the water and that she would email me with all she saw, heard, and felt. So with divine timing still at work, on Sunday, I sat down at the computer to make some notes for this call. About 5 minutes in, I saw a notification that I had an email from Raphael, so I stopped to read her email. So if you're ready for a bit more wild, I invite you all to take a deep breath. And with her permission and blessings to all of you, I will share with you what she wrote. For those of you who don't know Raphael, she's a teacher, very clairvoyant, and she and Michael lived in Mount Shasta for many years. And when she wrote this email to me, she could not recall the name of the Aji crystals. So, from Raphael, here's what I experienced. First, I noticed each person in our smaller boat felt a very strong connection with the spirit of the rock. It was so beautiful watching each one infusing it with their love and trust that whatever would happen with it would be somehow for the highest good of everyone on earth. Before we even arrived at the boat ride that day, I noticed that we were being tracked by a large, invisible, or cloaked UFO. A beautiful shaped, almost pure white one, and quite large. in the rectangle, in the regular shape, in the, excuse me, in the regular circular, but large circular shape. I said hello to the occupants and got a very clear vision of a tall ET, the kind with the big eyes. I somehow knew it was a female, and her energy was extremely loving and full of compassion for me and our group, especially you. I did not get her name, but she indicated telepathically to me that we all knew her on the inner plane. She was tall, maybe over 6 feet tall, and she wore a beautiful, glowing, white gown type of thing that looked ceremonial, and it had a kind of thick golden cord around her very narrow waist. It was a delight to be in touch with her throughout the trip, up until we placed the stone. Once everyone on our boat was done infusing the stone with their energy and love, I did the same until I felt it was ready. Then I held on to it for the entire trip. Even when I needed my hands, I found a way to hold onto it and not let it go until it was time for it to go. The stone communicated to me that it had a definite purpose in going into the Hawaiian waters. Meanwhile, I felt and clairvoyantly saw the cloaked UFO ship overhead the entire time, following us. It was quite a crown chakra experience. And as we stopped at that bay to drop the stones in, the ship also paused right above us. As I was preparing to drop the rock, I got the following communication from my female ET friend. These stones have extremely special qualities which will allow us to infuse your earth with the kind of energy that will help bring a type of healing to the earthly environment. These stones will be mixed with our technology to bring in those rays of light onto the earth to heal her, that is Mother Earth's body, and to heal the minds of those who are ready for it, of people, and help clear past garbage, including trauma, and finish karmic cycles for them. It will start with the land and the people and visitors of Hawaii, and eventually go all over the world. This will be a process that will take about a year to finish. Having groups of people drop these stones today indicate the representation of your permission for us to help your entire species and planet. You are all the bearers of this permission giving. The last stone, which will be placed later, will go to a different area where we will direct Milena to go with her other group. And when done, the energy can be looped around the world, spreading in what looks like energetic, concentric circles and ovals, overlaying each other, exciting each other, and bringing about amplified healing. The last stone to be dropped will be at a most unusual place, as it will be near a part of Hawaii not often visited by people. Milena will know on the day of the placing where that will be, as we will communicate with her directly. Once we infuse it with our technology meant only for good, it will continue to radiate out for years to come. We will return to the spot in 5 years to reinfuse it with this energetic technology in 2024. And of course, it is perfectly okay for you or Milena and her people to visit these spots in that year to experience the uptick we will bring to the radiating energies from these stones. The stones hold the energetic rays we will infuse in them and the water around them for about 5 years. We will come every 5 years after that until it is no longer needed. My new ET friend bowed respectfully and faded away from my vision. The energy she left behind was kind, loving, and if I'm reading this right, extremely hopeful, though a more subtle emotion, I believe a most important one. These beings are really on our side and wish to help in every way they can. I also got the sense that you might know this being, Milena. She did not say where she was from, and I did not ask, but she is definitely not from here. And she wasn't gray. She was white of skin, and her energy exuded nothing but the purest of love and kindness and a very high vibration of spirituality and compassion, as I said. Thank you, Milena, for choosing us to be a part of this very sacred ceremony. It will be interesting to see the changes that come first to the Big Island, then around the world in the years to come. Maybe clairvoyantly check in with it now and then and see how it's progressing. I'll do the same. Maybe we can compare notes. And then she gives her mahalo. And then I wrote her back, thanking her for sharing her experience. And I gave her a little bit more information about the aunties. And I also wrote this. For me, their energy and current message has been about the divine mother aspect of the sacred feminine. And then in another email, she responded, it is interesting that you mentioned the divine feminine as part of the experience. To me, it was so obvious, I guess. That is why I didn't even bring it up. Yes, it is very much a heralding of the divine feminine principle, which is why it is bringing that kind of healing to the earth and emotional healing to everyone, including men. So yes, of course, the healing has a lot to do with that. A deep breath, everyone. Joan, would you like to come on?
Yeah, I'm here. I think this is something that is such an auspicious event that we could not have foreseen it nor planned it in any way. It was so beautiful. This aspect of the mother and the divine feminine is so important. It has no gender separation like we experience in a human body. Because regardless whether you occupy a feminine body, a female body, or a male body, both aspects of the divine are present within you, that mother energy as well as the father energy. And I think we've been so programmed from the patriarchal viewpoint that we totally miss that. And this event was such that it implants that in that no time, no space convergence vortex that is so important in the upliftment of the planet, of Mother Earth herself, to bring everything in a unified expression where there's no limitation of time or space of any kind. It is such a significant event that happened. I just am blown away by it.
All of it was totally unexpected. You know, I could not have, as you said, foreseen any of it. And I went out there without any kind of a plan, and it just all unfolded just as it should have. When I shared Raphael's email with Joan, on Sunday, we both had the very strong knowing that that being was Andromeda, and that her ship was not a ship in the way most people see a ship. What we have received that it's just a light vehicle for a light being. She's been very present since she's been introduced to me through this email, and of course, and she's now very much present with each of you in our crucible. I asked her name, and I can hear her, but it's not a word. It's a sound frequency. And maybe as I sit with it more, I'll get something that I can verbally share with you. But right now I can't, because it's an energetic sound frequency.
Well, I think that another significant point here is that when our group went together and visited that vortex, no time, no space, the time-space convergent point, back in 2018, Milena? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last year.
We had no idea how that laid the groundwork or the foundation for what was to follow over 2 years later. It made a real strong connection with every member of our crucible, everyone in a human body and those who don't have human bodies that are part of that crucible. And it was very evident as to me, as Gabriel led us in that meditation, that he connected every piece and part of that equation for the upliftment of Earth itself, but also bringing in that important part of the divine essence is not being separate but united into one magnificent expression in a human form. So it's just, you know, and of course this evening we had a whole different agenda planned, and when I spoke to you on Sunday I knew that was off the table for the time being. Until this could be put in place. And the other thing that I noticed that this group, Rafaela and Michael's group, is not just the run-of-the-mill group. I mean, they do some awesome work and are very evolved beings. And they provided that physical presence as a stand-in group for our group. And I saw that so clearly. So that our crucible received and was part of that ceremony.
Mm. Well, and theirs too, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
For that group as well.
Right, though they didn't fully, they don't have the foundation that we have because we've been working with that energy for a few years now.
Yep.
So it's just amazing mm-hmm. how things are transpiring and evolving for our personal ascension, each one of us, as the individual, but yet as this group functions, as our crucible and membership functions to bring about a transcendence out of the separation of the earthly realm. I mean, we play such a really significant part in that. And if you didn't realize it before, I know you, just by listening to this, that you can feel the energy.
Well, and before, and this should not be go unmentioned, Milena, thank you so much for being the go-between for us and everybody else that you performed this ceremony that was so significant. So thank you. We couldn't have done it without you, girl.
Well, I just, you know, I'm honored to have been a part of it. And, you know, and and Michael and Raphael, you know, as those of you who came through Mastering Alchemy, you know, this Michael and Raphael are part of that backstory of all of that. So, you know, those that came from, you know, Jim came from through BPI. Michael Tamara took over when the founder and the original teacher of BPI, Lewis, when he became ill, Michael actually took over running the BPI center.
I didn't know that. Huh.
So, yeah, you know, and so those who came from Mastering Alchemy, so there's that connective point all the way back all those years ago. And I never had the privilege of meeting Lewis, who founded that, who started at BPI, and it's in the 70s, I can't remember exactly, 73 or 75. But in 98, when I went to an intensive in Chico, a lady who had taken care of him during his last years, Lewis's last year, was there, and I felt a very strong connection to Lewis, and time to time through these many years, his presence has shown up, and for some reason in the last few weeks before this event happened, I was aware of Lewis again in my presence, and now I know why. So it's just, you know, it's we need to keep backing up and looking at the broader picture, and how all the concentric rings go together, and how we all are so truly connected. And, you know, we're just part of something so much bigger. And, you know, our group, our contained group, is so important to that uplifting, as Joan says, and the realization that we are part of this broader continuum of people who are here to affect change and affect the ascension and bring the healing back to the earth. And just as our group is, they had people on the boat that day came from all over the world. Mm-hmm. So now they take these energetics back out all over the world. Mm-hmm. So it's just a coming and a going and a sharing and I don't know. I was mind blown, you know. It was one of those days when I came home, the energetics had been so high, I could do nothing for the rest of the day. I had to go lay down, and that's not something I do during the day. And, you know, and unless the energetics are really high, I'm not affected that way out there anymore. But this day was off the chart, and, you know, and then now I realize we have the Andromedan being with us, and, you know, so it, all of these other components came in that I... in the moment as things were happening, I was not even aware of. Anyway, it's just been an honor and a privilege, you know, of this journey and, you know, to be a part of this with all of you guys. And I'm just very excited where it's going to go next. And I mean, this event has kind of, I don't know if changed, but it certainly shifted what some of the things now that will be leading up to the conference and what we may now have an opportunity to do in the conference that we may not have had an opportunity to do had this event not happened as it happened. So that's those are all those, again, those little connective dots and the things that are just being orchestrated that are beyond our human. We're not making it happen. We're allowing to be in the flow and going with it. And, you know, and it's, I don't know, it's just a beautiful process all the way around.
Right. Well, again, we really do appreciate you very, very much. And we might as well open the discussion to the group to see if there might be any questions or comments about what happened.
Yeah. I think it's important to not get into our mental processing of this, but realize that it is a very deep seeding within us that will unfold and flower the closer we get to the conference. And I think it also will shift the teachings somewhat in preparation for the conference in the things that will be covered. There's a lot of wounding that took place on the earth since the fall, and I think that this is part of that healing of that wounding, especially in the masculine and feminine, that we covered at the very beginning of Seeding of the Divine about the wounding that holds us back because of our gender. So I think that was a huge significant, and that mother energy, that nurturing mother energy, is so important at this time to start to heal that wounding within each one of us, but within the collective consciousness of all humanity, and not just limited to the Earth. There was a galactic wounding that took place. So I just think that fasten your seatbelts, because I think the next few months are going to be something.
Well, they mentioned 5 years, and so I think that will give them plenty of time, and all of us plenty of time,
right,
to absorb all this and be able to implement it.
Right. I do too. So I would ask everyone to, we would like to hear if you have a comment or a specific question, but also take that within yourself and sit with it and let those seeds begin to grow within you individually as well as within us collectively. So if anybody would like to speak up, just press star 6. We'd love to hear from you.
It's that simple.
Hi, this is Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm not a person who takes naps. I'm always moving around. And on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I was so tired that I ended up taking a nap every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I got hit by a lot of energy that I was absorbing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, because all of this, goes right into the crucible as it was happening.
That's my only comment.
Oh, that's great.
Thanks, Heidi.
Hi, all. This is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, so nice to hear all your voices. I wanted to share that since I really got introduced to all the dragons, not just my dragon, it feels like I've had a big shift. The last few months I've been so busy with work and I've been having trouble sleeping at night. Plus I feel like I had a second job at night. Whatever I was doing during the day wore me out, go to bed, and I'm still working. And I had a really nice conversation with Charlotte, and she helped me recognize how to create an intention just for sleeping. And I started calling on the dragons and going to the Emerald Green Lake. And I've been doing that for a week, and I've been sleeping fantastic, waking up rested and calling on the dragons for just about everything. And I've been more grounded than I've been in a long time. And that's pretty much what I wanted to share.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's terrific.
Yeah. Bless the dragons.
Bless them all.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a comment that was on that boat that in 2018 in February when we went as a group to that vortex? And remember when Metatron spoke about to connect with the Ancient of Ancient Ones in the water, but he also spoke about the mother energy. Do you remember that? Does anybody have any comments about how, you can see this, even though at the time that we were there in February, we didn't see this coming, or how that was setting the foundation for this then to bring it up another notch and how that affects our group. So if anybody has anything to say about that, that would be great. Because I think it helps merge and unite that those two events and make it more tangible.
Joan, hi. This is Diana.
Yes, Diana.
Hi. I was not on that boat, function. You have to excuse me. My heart is just... But I believe I shared with both you and Malena a very powerful experience, and I would not bring this up except for Malena felt this strong intuition that this beautiful being was Andromedan. And I had, still to this day, am not quite certain what took place, and part of it was witnessed by Charlotte. Oh, seems her name is being mentioned. On Sunday, I believe, the last day when we finished the conference, when we finished the conference that Sunday. But I had a very powerful experience in my bedroom. I had asked who was there, I have still no idea what took place, but who was there? And all I received was the Council of Andromeda and beyond. Mm. Now, what I may not have mentioned, and I don't remember, is that when my husband and I went to Kona in July, which was after the conference, and after a very interesting formation in the sky of clouds. I know the visual was an upside-down V. And at the conference, Charlotte took me outside and said, "This was for me." And the entire sky with the clouds made an upside-down V.
Wow.
It blew me away. And I was glad that Charlotte was there and Marta was there because I have a witness, because I would not have believed it. But when I went to Kona in July and I first stepped into the water, it felt like something drained from me. And again, I would not even mention this, and I have no idea of its connectivity with these events. But as soon as Malena said Andromeda, I said, okay, I don't know what took place. That's what I wanted to say.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you betcha.
I just think that there are no words for a lot of things that have transpired in the last 3 years. And will continue, to be amplified as we move forward.
Yes.
Well, if I remember historically, the Andromedas were the group of people that stepped forward as Atlantis was going under and accumulated physically and etherically a tremendous percentage of the crystalline energy that was available in Atlantis, and took them different places and still have them, etc. So to me, knowing that they were there shows me that, that's our crystal connection.
Yeah.
And Mina is going to be a crystal connection, and that maybe, I think they mentioned one or two very large crystals that energetically are there.
Right.
So that may be some more work to connect this. I'm just kind of, you know, mouthing this, but it just seems like there's significance in that, that it was the Andromedans.
Right, and they held the Christ consciousness for Earth,
right,
until we could hold it for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they play such a role for us as humans and the Earth itself.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this whole galaxy, Milky Way galaxy.
We have somebody else.
Yeah. Hi, this is Katie.
Hi, Katie.
I'd like to share a couple personal reactions I'm having. First of all, I'm totally blown away. I'm virtually in tears here. Part of it is my amusement at my reaction. Joan, when you were talking about the correspondence between what happened at the convergence point February 2018, when Metatron was bringing in the mother energy, the ancient of ancients, and now we're seeing it again in this event at the convergence point. And I always get so, I think, wow, these teachers of ours, they really know what they're doing, the way they put the pieces together of this jigsaw puzzle. And what I laugh at is my reaction, because of course these great beings are doing this, and we see the fingerprints, so to speak. And it's such a joy to see these fingerprints and watch more and more of the picture come together.
Right.
And then the second reaction I'm very aware of is, Melena did let me spend some time with these five Anshi, and I especially created a bond with the smaller one that looks like the island of Hawaii, and when you look at the picture she posted on Facebook, it's very clear which one that is. And I fell in love with that Anshi stone, and I did not want it to go into the convergence point. I knew for a long time that the five Anshis were supposed to go into the convergence point, because Helene and I kept thinking that when we were both on the island, we should get the stones into the convergence point, and as she said, it just never happened. And when I found out only four of the Anshis had gone into the convergence point, I immediately asked Elena, was it the one shaped like the island that did not go? And she said, of course. And I was just ecstatic. Because, well, for me, I have the bond with that one, and my natural way of connecting is through the earth energies. And that, apparently, that Anshi will be going more into the earth. But before it does that, it's been in the ocean, it's been swimming with the dolphins, swimming with the group, and then it's going to come to our conference. And that is huge. To have that Anshi stone at our conference is so big. I mean, I can already see the light explosion. So I wanted to kind of say in advance, let's really, really pay attention to this stone at the conference. It has something magnificent to do. And then it will go somewhere else and continue it in a different way. So I am so excited that this stone is coming to us, Talamina Rich.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, every step or everything is so precise in the way we're guided. And, you know, we get a piece and then we have to we have to do our part as the individuals and as our crucible. So they wait until we do that part before they orchestrate something again. So I think there were a lot of things that had to be put in place before this event took place, and we were totally unaware of it. And I mentioned to Milena today that, you know, you did that last community call, Katie. You did a review on that event in Hawaii in February and the significance of that vortex. And
Who could have
we couldn't have planned that.
No, I was told to get to my computer and start preparing that. So.
Well, good job, girl.
So we all do our part, and our part is important.
Yes.
Well, everyone is doing their part. All the people
exactly.
are coming together. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's important, too, that, you know, since we recognize this being as Andromeda, and if we go back to what her message was to Raphael, you know, that they will be infusing these stones with their technology. So that Andromeda connection will continue. And, you know, basically we heard that it is their intention, and I take it as their commitment to us, you know, that they're going to be monitoring the stains, and they will come back every 5 years as needed for as long as it is needed. So, you know, they're in it for the long haul. So,
I think it's
important that we kind of keep that presence, that their presence is with us all the time, and you know, they've already been the keepers of the etheric crystal and the blue crystal as we know it, and you know, and so many more, and what we're learning more and more. In each piece for me that I learn and understand and brings them closer to us and allows them to come closer, because we have more receptivity to them as we are learning just how much more involved, I don't know if it's quite the right word, but how they are watching over us and contributing to our becoming all that we were intended to be.
Right. Well, I think that, you know, as we grow and we're able to further activate our light body and hold that light, fifth dimensional light frequency as it is intended, their presence will become more obvious to us, because they're, you know, far different dimensional frequency than what we're used to. So I just think that there's a lot yet that we will experience with these great beings, the Andromeda.
Oh, sure. One of the things that I caught, that I'm sure everybody else did, but when they were talking about their energy and the what their infusion, the technology, and it was almost like a second thought, and then the word was, oh, and for good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I thought, oh my gosh, that goes back to that Atlantis where it was abused. And they were just reminding us again that that's not where we're going, folks. No, this is going to be for good. This is, you know, this is not a controlling effort. This is just for good.
Mm.
And I thought that was significant.
Hi, everyone. It's Kathleen from Colorado.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen. Hey, everyone. I'm blown away, too. I don't have a lot to say, but I have all my aunties sitting here, and I almost want them to speak.
Aww.
They're absolutely
Oh, speak up, right?
They're ecstatic. Can you hear them? They're just like, woohoo! And, you know,
I'm sure they're all lighting up.
They are so lit up, and especially the queen, the one that is the large one. And I have always felt, and though I didn't come forth with this, that I've always felt this was Andromedan. When I met Glinda and she spoke of her lineage, I always knew it was Andromedan. I just didn't feel like I was, I just wanted to be really respectful and not name it. So this, thank you so much, Melina, and thanks to Raphael for bringing that forward. What I also feel, and I feel they were all there at our conference last year too, I feel that there were many there that were watching us and supporting us. And I feel a strong alliance between that beautiful female being and the white fire dragon from the 12th season and the vow we took. So they know that vow is, they've sort of watched us for a year and they know we're true to it. So they've come to reinforce this connection. And I'm seeing a beautiful, almost like a rainbow. I've been pulling the rainbow dragon every day for the last week, and I see this rainbow bridge from Kona to Mina that has to do with the healing of the Atlantean Lemurian, because that got fractured too. So sure. I feel there's beautiful healing going on between Atlantis and Lemuria, all of that wounding, all of the mistakes, and I'm seeing visions as I'm saying this. And interestingly, the queen Anshi that I have, and I'll bring her, she's like, oh yeah, you better pack me up.
Please.
She's the shape of the United States.
She's
the shape of the United States.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I feel her almost stretching in one direction to the west and then the other direction. Here I am in the middle of the United States, stretching in both directions to help with the conduit between the portal and Mina. And so what they're saying to me about those of us who have Anshi, some chose not to, which is absolutely fine, but that all of our Anshis are aligning with the frequency, not just the fifth one, which is the fifth element of love that Melena's holding, but that all the ones that everyone has are starting to align with this energy so that we can be working with that, we can be holding them, we can be engaging with them in a new level of relating prior to, we have 6 weeks or 8 weeks before the conference, which seems like so soon. But they're telling that I'm feeling very strongly that they're going to step it up. They're all encoded with this technology, and it's the whole game is leveling up for us to be prepared, because this is going to be an incredible, I see more of the blue crystal of knowledge being repaired as a result of this work. So
makes sense.
There's another crystal in this area that was brought online. It wasn't totally activated. Mount Magazine, the green crystal.
2009.
Well, it is that etheric crystal is in the bottom of Lake Washita, that energetic imprint. And there's something about it, it has to be connected with the blue crystal at Talamina because you cannot have wisdom without the element of love.
Love.
So the blue crystal is all about wisdom and knowledge, and it's very significant that those two etheric crystals be connected. And I think that's probably one of the things that we'll be doing at the conference.
I'd like to add, this is Katie again, I'd like to add that there's another very strong rainbow connection here, and that is the island of Hawaii is connected to Mount Shasta, a very strong one. And then Mount Shasta, also Hawaii and Mount Shasta connected to Arkansas and then to other places over to Glastonbury and then on over. And Michael Tamura and Raphael are Mount Shasta people. Hmm. So not only is there the connection through the beginning of our teachings in MA, but through Michael and Raphael currently holding the Mount Shasta energy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
I was waiting for you to pipe up.
Come on, pipe up, boy.
Pipe, pipe, pipe. As some of you know, I am a walk-in, and I come from Andromeda. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people connected with that or not, but I hear all this conversation about Andromeda, and it really has sparked something within me.
Mm.
And so I can say Andromeda is quite different. The galaxy of Andromeda is quite different than the Milky Way galaxy, in that the entire galaxy functions at 15th dimension. And that's quite different. For instance, one of the differences is it operates at a much higher temperature. And so the beings of Andromeda, by and large, function at a very much higher temperature than any of us would, even at 12th dimension. So that's one difference. There's some other differences, and we can get into that some other time. But I really appreciate the fact that people are now stepping up and saying, oh, there's a connection to Andromeda. Because Andromedans are very much interested in this planet and in the ascension of Earth and are very supportive of exactly what we are doing. So I needed to say that, and that'll be enough for tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Very, very much.
Hi, this is Lindley.
Hi,
I don't know what everyone else is feeling, but my entire body is vibrating. My chest is like this. It's cavernous. It's vast. And I am just feeling an overwhelming sense of love.
Love. Absolutely.
And I just wanted to share that and to say that initially at the conference, when I held the stone, I really did not feel anything. But when my sister and I were in Hawaii, and I was asked to pray over the stones, I immediately went into a trance and was chanting. And what I was chanting was from my system that I follow, called Ifa, and it was a chant to the Iyamis. And in my tradition, the Iyamis are the primordial feminine aspect. It's a universal, it's even more than universal. It's hard for me really to explain. But as I'm listening to all of this about these beautiful beings, I'm just totally, every cell is vibrating in resonance with them. And how we, not only as a group, but various groups on the planet at this time, are stepping up and moving into our, I don't know if it's light body, I see it as more than that, but really touching who we truly are and spreading that in such a way that people can understand it. To me, using crystals and stones, the basic elements, you can give it to a child. I've had children that have had issues, and you just pray over a crystal and you give them the crystal, you can see the magic that takes place. You can see them transform.
Wow.
And when I think of children, when we remember our childhood, what did we pick up? We picked up leaves. We picked up rocks. We talked to things that no one could see. And everything talked back to us. And we are coming back to that, but on such a higher level. And I just feel so full of gratitude. I just needed to share that.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, dear.
We're talking about the crystals. We're talking about, you know, just I was there at the point in Hawaii, and it was magical. It was absolutely magical. What day was it that you went out there, Milena, and the crystals were deposited?
It was last Monday. Last Monday, July 15th.
Okay. There has been a really large shift in the crystal grid. And I was listening to a YouTube from Sandra Walters this morning, as a matter of fact, and she referenced the shifting in the crystal grid and what all of us light workers are doing by physically going to locations and physically dropping crystals. Does this sound familiar? I mean,
yeah.
But and it's absolutely powerful. And it has a lot to do with that earthquake that just took place in California, because it does affect Mount Shasta, and it did connect, and she does talk about it connecting all the way to Lemuria, which is Hawaii. And, you know, so it was just absolutely, like, right on. And
wow.
when she was talking about it, it was, you know, I'm one, Cheryl Latte is one, I know, you know, Cliff, Terry, everybody that I know that works with crystals, we're told, pick this one up, take 12 of them here, deposit one, you know, I've put them all over Europe, and there's more in the Vatican of mine than there is scattered around my house. And,
well, they need it, thanks.
They do. They need it. And so,
yeah.
You know, the work that we're doing, and then when you connect it with Michael Tamara's work or the energy of his group. Now, I don't know what they were doing out there as a group, but I know that we as a group were doing something absolutely powerful. And that unity consciousness is beautiful, because we're connecting the work that we're all doing. And of course, Sandra Walters referenced that too, and it always feels so good to be a part of it, and you know, knowing that we're all part of this unity consciousness, and we are actively the light workers and the grid workers, and you know, we're doing it. We are, you know, like they said, they're watching. We are to remind each other that our focus definitely needs to be on what we want and not to listen to the garbage, but also to keep asking for assistance. And, you know, by seeing and hearing everybody that talks about the inner earth beings and all that, it makes it so much more real to me, because, you know what, in my everyday work or my everyday walking around space, very few people come up to me and go, hey, have you seen a Talosian lately? You know, I mean, it's just not part of my circle here. Anyway.
You run with the wrong crowd, Jody.
You know, I need to. Cliff needs to come back. He was visiting for a while. But, you know, the thing is it reminds me, and then I put my attention on it, and I open my heart up, and then, you know, with the dragons and working with the dragons, and you know, I have such gratitude for this group. It's not just family to me, it's my core. And you know, and to see us expanding in such beautiful ways and touching other groups, and you know, we're gonna absorb Michael's energy and Raphael's energy of their group into ours, and we'll do ours into theirs, and these crystals will absorb, and that crystal, and the green crystal is healing, and you know, it's like it is connected, and there is a whole new neural pathway of the earth being laid, being connected by us, and you know, and it's just when you look at all the other groups around, you go, yes, 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 yes. You know, very rarely anymore am I saying no, no, no. It's always, yes, I see it. Yes, I connect to it. Yes, I want this. Yes, help me. Yes, yes, yes. And it's beautiful. So I just kind of wanted to share all that. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of this.
Well, thank you, Jody.
Yeah, and I'd like to make a real quick note here that the date of 7/15 is the day before the partial lunar eclipse, which was preceded on July 2nd by the total solar eclipse. So this was done in the eclipse season also.
Right, and between that and the Lion's Gate, which is huge.
And right, entering the Lion's Gate, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know right? what? That's yeah. the day before our next meeting is scheduled.
Mm.
The 8th is yep. scheduled for the 9th, and the 8/8 is on the 8th.
Yeah, always is.
Always is.
It always is. It's my birthday, so I always remember it. And,
yeah.
And my journey started on the Talamina Ridge on 8/8/8 with the crystals. So this is just powerful, absolutely powerful stuff. Anyways, I'm done. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thanks.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Charmaine. It's just sort of funny. While Jody was talking, I reached down for my dragon cards, mm-hmm. and I just closed my eyes, and I randomly, quote-unquote, picked a card, and it was the dusky pink dragon from Andromeda.
Look at you.
There's your sign.
So, I mean, the cards are never wrong, right?
Right.
I love it.
Melina, is there anything else you want to say before we close?
No, I think we have a lot to sit with, and you know, I know you'll be posting all of this and invite everybody to listen and to reread all of it, and again, let those seeds. The energetics here were again very, very potent, and what they have been saying to Joan and I the last few days is, you know, take this time and let these seeds germinate over these next 8 weeks as we go into the conference. And the more that we can absorb and integrate into our own bodies and our, you know, and our light bodies, then the further and the more we'll be able to accomplish in the conference itself. So we are now definitely into the throes, and this is all preparation for what's yet to come.
Well.
Well said.
Well said. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for everyone that has joined us, and we look forward to being with you in our next session, and who knows what will happen next time.
You just never know.
So, again, thank you for joining us, and blessings to all.
Blessings.
Blessings.
Good night.